Parshas Nitzavim. So what we're going to do tonight is a few things. Just at the very outset, we're going to knock off a few of his grammatical stuff, he translates words a little different than we're used to. And then, owing to the fact that Parshas Nitzavim is always read right before Rosh Hashanah, I mean, halakhically, that's what the Shulchan Aruch says, we read Nitzavim before Rosh Hashanah, but the reason is because Nitzavim, in many ways, is its own, it's Moshe's Shabbos Shuvah Drasha, if you think about it. Okay, there's a lot of mentioning of tshuva. So the Ksava Kabbalah, in his unique fashion, he goes off on what tshuva is and how we are to view it. So we'll get there, and that's one of the unique cases where I looked at a long commentary and actually read through it and said, we're going to do this one. Normally, when I'm preparing this class, I skip the big ones. Okay, so let's take a look. Moshe begins. By the way, this is he's basically in the middle of talking, because last week at the very end of the parsha in Shvi, Moshe tells the people that you saw what Hashem did going through the desert and everything, and he brought you to this day. That you have to keep all the words of the covenant, and it's good for you, right? So that you will succeed in all that you do. And he continues, you're all standing here today, kol ish Yisrael. So if you look at Rashi, for example, Rashi says, Rashi Chem, do you think Aksav HaKabbalah is going to like that?
No.
So if there was supposed to be a Lamed, there would be a Lamed. Okay, Zikneichem, Shotrichem. Hechashuv, Chashuv, Kodem. Okay, I mean, so what does all this mean? So he essentially rejects the viewpoints of Rashi and of Ibn Ezra, who says, Rashi Chem, Shehem, Rashi Shiv Techem. Thank you very much. He says, better is Targum Yonatan and Uziel, who says, the heads of the Sanhedrin and the heads of the Shvatim. So in other words, Rashi Chem, that's the heads of the Sanhedrin. Shiftechem, that's the leaders of the Shvatim. Siknechem, but he says even more, take a look, starting on the end of the third line, Yafe Amar Hagra, this is the Vilna Gaon, who says, Rashichem Heim, Sarei Alafim, Shem Rashim Alkulam. Now you see where the Vilna Gaon is going with this. Remember what Moshe established with the leadership of the Bnei Israel after Yisro's insights? He set up Sarei Alafim, Sarei Meo, Sarei Chemishim, Sarei Yisro. So take a look what he says. Rashichem, those are the Sarei Alafim. Shiftechem, those are the Sarei Meos, and those are Shofte Yisrael, certain judges. Okay, skip to the second to last line. Ziknechem, Heim Sarei Chamishim, Hamalam in Torah Barabim, they're the leaders over the 50s, and they are the ones who teach Torah. The Shoftechem, Heim Sarei Asaros, Hakofin Alkiyim Piskei Adayanim, those are the local enforcers of the law. So he likes the Vilna Gaon's comment, and I think that what the Vilna Gaon is essentially doing is he's taking words which are here and paralleling them to the leadership of the Bnei Israel. And of course, the pasuk concludes with Kol Ish Yisrael, every person of the people of Israel. Okay, so that's the first idea that I wanted to share with you. The next one is pasuk Tezvav. Let's look at Shlishi. Ki atem yidatem eis asher yashavnu be'eretz Yisrael, ve'eis asher avarnu bekerav hagoyim asher avartem. So anybody want to take a guess on what the question he's going to ask here is? Okay, I'll give you a hint. There's a shorish which appears twice in the pasuk, which would seem to be repetitive. Okay, the pasuk says, "You know that we lived in the land of Egypt." No, that's not a shorish. That will appear a lot. It's a transition word. Beis asher avarnu bekerav goyim, and that which we passed through the goyim, the nations, asher avartem, that you passed through. So it seems to be repetitive. So he says, "No, it's not repetitive." Okay, what's the proof? It's not a double. He's not being repetitive. Lashon avara v'hatoka mimakom lemakom. Okay, that where he's basically saying you went from one place to another. The one would be extra if that's the case. Okay, again, as we've seen throughout. Okay, in the last, what is it? How long are we doing this? 10 months? 11 months? We've seen this, that he'll find a word like in this case ayin vez resh, which means to pass through, but you'll find another way that it is utilized. So vayaviru kol b'machaner, taviru shofar b'chol atzichem. We saw that last night in looking at Yovel, and it's parallel to Rosh Hashanah with the mitzvah, the passages of shofaros in the Machzor. So taviru shofar b'chol atzichem. What does it mean to pass along? Okay, it means it's a lashon hachraza That it's an announcement. It's an announcement of something. That's the point of the sounding of the shofar. You're not passing the shofar along. You're making the sound of the shofar. You're making the sound of whatever announcement they're being made that's being made in the machane. Okay? So what's the point here? Okay, so that's essentially the idea here. That one of them is passing through, and one, so Asher, in other words, that which we announced amongst the nations, Asher of our tent that we passed through. Okay, so in other words, there was a call out to the nations. We come in peace. Will you please accept that we are going to be neighborly, etc.? Will you accept the Shabbat Mitzvah B'nai Noach? Things of that sort. But the point is that they're two different words. And again, using proofs, he demonstrates what that is. Okay, next we move on. So another pasuk, next page. So on the bottom of page 1086, he says, maybe there's somebody amongst you who is whose heart is turning you away from God. Somebody wants to follow the gods of the nations. Maybe there's a root flourishing with gall and wormwood. Says, and it will be that when somebody hears the words of what I'm basically warning you now, the person is going to bless himself in his heart, say, peace be with me, though I walk as my heart sees fit, thereby adding the watered upon the thirsty. Okay, look at that phrase. L'man sfos harava es hatzmeya. Okay, now if you read Art Scroll's translation, how would you translate the word sfos? Okay, I'm sorry. How would you translate the word l'man?
Thereby.
So he says thereby, right? What's sfos? Like lesof, like Yosef, right?
Add.
To add, okay? What's harava? The watered, because tzmeya means thirsty, right?
Mm-hmm.
What on earth does that mean?
Right.
What does that mean? I mean, I honestly, thank you, Art Scroll, with all due respect, I understand what you're talking about. Okay?
By adding the watered to the thirsty, that doesn't make sense, really. Yeah. I mean, in order to really to quench the thirst for those who are.
Okay, all right, fair enough, but again, there's just a lack of clarity. I mean, I don't know what it means, right. And it shouldn't be that way.
Right.
Okay, if we know what the words actually mean, then we should be able to figure it out. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is the reason why he goes in the direction in which he goes. Okay, so just in the interest of time, I'm going to skip the first three lines, okay? Skip to the end of the last line, the end of the third line, the word l'chein. You see it?
Mm-hmm.
L'chein. It's a commentary on Torah, which might be available. I've heard it before. Like I think I've heard Nechama Leibowitz quote it. But they said about Nechama Leibowitz that the same time that Rabbi Soloveitchik was in the University of Berlin, and by the way, Lubavitch Rebbe was there at the same time. Okay, that if you walk into the library, you'd see like a little head behind a huge pile of books. Okay, who was that? Nechama Leibowitz. Okay, it's just a brilliant, brilliant lady.
To learn with her.
Yeah.
I was in Yeshiva in
90. Ibn Ganach says that the word sephos is lashon kilion ukreisa. What does that mean? Kilion? So destruction. Russia. Destruction. And what's he going to do? Bring proof, okay? Suf avadan. Kemo penti safeh b'chol chataso. Lest you be
destroyed,
right, destroyed or swallowed up with all the sin. Half tispet sadikim rasha. Remember, right. That's what Avram says regarding Sodom. He gives a bunch of examples. Okay, so that sephos, which Art Scroll translated as adding, he says is destruction. Okay, now that makes a lot more sense because you have a guy who's basically saying, "No, I love this idolatry thing. It's awesome." And what's going to happen? No. Next, what about Rava? Sfos harava. Rava, kamo imhirva esa aretz. Imhirva esa aretz, what's hirva? So he says, ki harvaya bishsiya kamo hasbiya bachila. That revaya with drinking is like satisfaction with eating. Tsmeya. So that sounds like thirst as well. Okay? But laman sfos. Harava es hatzmeya. So let's see what this means. Hukinui el hanefesh hamitavet tamid leravet zma'on ta'avasa. Okay, so what does that mean? The man, so now think about it. Sifos harava es hatzmeya. The Rava is the taiva that comes from the thirst. Do you understand? This person has a desire for Avodah Zarah. That's why they're giving this example. B'shirus l'bielech. I'm going to go based on how I feel. Right? Sheilaism. Ever hear of Sheilaism? Apparently there's some article in the 1970s or 80s where this lady was saying, I don't believe in anything, but I believe in me. I believe in me. So I will go based on where my moral conscience is. And her name was Sheila. So there was a whole thing about Sheilaism. You have a lot of that today with the whole selfie generation. You know, it's like... Some of these things you see. I mean, I saw at a baseball game recently, the camera focused on these 10 girls, and they're all on their phone or taking the selfie, and the TV announcer was like, "This is unbelievable. How self-absorbed? Like, you're at a baseball game. Why don't you watch the game?" Yeah. You know? And like, none of them are paying attention to anything. We're like, "What do I care?" But it's unbelievable. That's what you have. So what he's saying is that there is a thirst for that which their taiva is for, and so what Rava is that desire for that thirst which they're looking for. So now let's go back and see what it means. So actually skip two lines. Look at the end of the line after it says Mishlei Shidame Choma Ava L'Choma Tzimaon. Okay, that there is the warmth of love should be like the warmth of the thirst. Skip to the next line. V'tam ha-mikra, so now what is the mikra? What is the pasuk telling us? L'man tzfos ha-rava esatzmiya b'chdei she'arivui b'shiyas mashke tavosav yashbis v'yichle esatzimaon aleihem. That the revui, in other words, this desire of drinking the drink of his taiva, okay, what's it going to do? It's going to destroy him. Okay, that thirst is going to destroy him. Yikamo mashal shebefiak silim. Skip the unless does anybody here have an inkling about what the parenthesis means? It's the German. Damit der Reusch den Durst vernichte. No, okay, so move on. Rabbi Yozula is not here, so we're gonna have to move on. Uzeb milas leman kin sinas tama lakodim. So leman doesn't mean thereby, but it means. Well, I mean, I guess it could mean thereby. That could be a decent translation. That basically what's going to happen is it's a through what is happening through Sfos Haravas Hatzmaya, what's going to happen? You know, it's a reason for what happened beforehand. Okay, Bishvirus Libyelech Shalom Yeli Limnoas Hatzam Mishmiras Achukim She'ein Tama Negle. Right, that the person is going to withdraw oneself from keeping Chukim, which the person does not understand. Bechadei Lemalos Tavasam Malchalos Ubios Asuros Lanim in Torah, because the person wants to fulfill one's desires when it comes to eating forbidden foods, having forbidden relations, etc. And that's essentially the idea which he's bringing out. And that, I would like to think, based on the way we're trying to understand, adding the water upon the thirsty makes no sense. What instead he's telling us is that the person's desire for sin is just going to bring about the person's destruction, which makes a lot more sense in the context of the pasuk, because he's saying this is the cause and this is going to be the effect. And again, he brings proofs to explain what this means. So I think that's a lot more clear, and it helps us understand that pasuk. Okay. Now, the next thing which we're going to look at is a pasuk which gets a lot of attention amongst all the Mefarshim, and that's the very last pasuk in Shlishi. When we read Nitzavim, on Mondays and Thursdays, it's the last pasuk which we hear, and that is Hanistaros L'Hashem Elokeinu V'Hanigloz Lanu L'Vanenu. Okay, Hanistaros L'Hashem Elokeinu. The hidden, look at our scroll there, right? The hidden sins are for Hashem our God, but the revealed sins are for us and for our children forever to carry out all the words of this Torah. Okay, which essentially means, at least some will interpret it to mean, that Hanistaros, that's between me and God, and God you know, and we'll try to work that stuff out. Okay, and Rashi says, Shein L'Hashem Elokeinu L'Yifra Me'Oso Yachid, that he will you know, enact punishment, so to speak, from that individual. That our job is to get rid of the evil from among us. So God will do His part, and we have to do our part in order to clear our slate and our plate. So let's take a look at what he says, because obviously it's a lengthy comment, but it's more than just a lengthy comment, because it's the essence of what tshuva in a way is all about. And it's not just this; it really goes further into the next chapter, where if we were to do an exercise in which we count how many times the word or the root shav Shavta, etc., appears in Parshas Nitzavim, we'd find that that it's numerous enough to certainly to pay attention, which Nachama Leibowitz would call a Mila Mancha, right? The common word. Okay. Hanistaros Vandagos. So now we're on page 2 towards the top. Kasav. Who's Reish Beches? Come on. Okay.
Shabbat?
No. I'm not sure who it is. Okay. I don't always know whose abbreviations are, but he's quoting Mishema Rambam Zal. Perish Pasuk Zal. Hanistaros Lashem Lokenu Sodos HaTorah. Hanistaros V'tamei HaMitzvos Lashem Him. Okay. The secrets of the Torah, the hidden things, the reasons for mitzvos, they are with God. Okay, our job, and this is one of the challenges the Rambam faced when he wrote his Sefer Mitzvos, because he was trying to give explanations for why we do the mitzvos. Sefer Chinuch is the same thing. But the challenge when you write Tamei HaMitzvos is that if the reason that you give for the mitzvah becomes obsolete or becomes outdated, then the danger is that people view the mitzvah as becoming obsolete and outdated. So you don't want to give reasons for mitzvos. The only reason for mitzvos is because God commanded them. End of story. End of discussion. So, Hashem Yitzvarachim. V'im lo yizke adam shikach shemetz b'nehem yidei asher shemetzvah b'nyan gufani ein lo libanam izeh. And if a person does not figure out the reason for mitzvos, he should not withdraw himself. Sharein ha'niglos lanu levaneinu lasos. What's revealed to us, in other words, what's in the Torah, is for us to do. End of discussion. He says it's very nice. It has nothing to do with what's written here. Okay, I've got that. I'm not lefiyam of war la'il on the pasuk of Bishri Rusli Bielef, because as we saw before, when it comes to somebody who's going to follow their own heart, shapru meyinan aparsha mitaberes min hamivazeh b'toras Hashem v'mazeh b'chukei Elohim mitzad helim tamayim sodasehem. Says what the parsha is talking about is somebody who basically denigrates the Torah, denigrates the laws of the Torah, through ignoring reasons, secrets behind them. And so, l'chein chasam kan v'asarazol l'yoshad v'arim ma'elehem yisora Torah v'avodah. And that's why the Moshe concludes here, saying, ha'nistaros Hashem Elokeinu. Folks, if you don't know it, if you don't know the reason why, that's for God. It's not your problem. Don't worry about it. Ha'niglos l'anu v'aneinu. So if God says, he gives a reason for why you have to do it, so we understand that. But what is our job? L'anu u'v'aneinu adolam. That's our job, and that's the pshat. If we don't understand it, that's fine. We're not meant to understand it. And if we do understand it, great. Doesn't matter. All the same, we have to keep the Torah. Lo imana. I'm sorry, so he says, v'liyoshad v'rim ha'elahim yisod ha'Torah v'avodah. And since these things are the foundation of the Torah and service of God, lo imana min la'atik devrei rabag shekasav al-pizet ha'pasuk zev v'zel shonam. He says, I'm not going to hold back from copying over the words of the Ralbag that he wrote on this pasuk, and this is what he says. So the next 15 lines are the Ralbag. Okay, and I checked it with the Ralbag because I wanted to know where he finished, because I was trying to find like Ad Kan Lashono. So, and I just looked at the Ralbag, and then I found it that he ends it on the word Vayifartzuhu, where he writes Ayin Chav Dalet, which is Ad Kan Dvarav. So that's where the quote ends. Okay, that's about 6 or 7 lines from the bottom. I put it in bold. Ulay achshova choshev ki adam yechtem lo yushugu lo kavanos haTorah. Somebody might think that a person will sin if he doesn't understand the intent of the Torah. Im haya she haishara lo mikinyan hashlemus hanoshi haybilti avshar shi adam tzadik beretz shalo yechta. So the fact of the matter is, we know that nobody can be a tzadik without sinning. Because a person can't really understand all the intents of the Torah completely. And if that's the case, how could God command that we have to keep all the mitzvos? And if they don't keep them, then these terrible punishments will come. The fact of the matter is that it's impossible. Right? There's no person who can't sin. So, I mean, God, you're setting us up for failure. There's no way we can succeed. The hidden things that are in the mitzvos of the Torah. What are pitulos? Actions. That a person should have intent towards when doing them, because What that means is that they are, for somebody, things that the person can't. Lo yushgu. What is yushgu? Like yusag. You're saying it's yusagu. I was going to say something along those lines, that you can't get to their full tachlis. Only God can understand their full purpose. So you can't have a full sin when you don't really understand what the kavanah of the mitzvah is, because you're not doing it completely wrong, because you can't do it completely right. That's the way I understand it. But the revealed mitzvos, which are actions which we are either told to do or things not to do. Remember, mitzvos are either asei or lot asei, do or don't do. Do, put on tzitzis, put on tefillin. Don't do, don't kill, don't steal, etc. Don't murder, rather. Okay? So that's what we have to do or not do. Lefi ma shegazra Torah mehem, what the Torah declared. Umizeh yizba'er she'ein roi li'adam shemar. So it's not good for a person to say the following quote: Hine mipnei shekavanas haTorah mitzvos kach la'yishir al devar kach la'archik b'devar kach. But since the Torah's intent is to direct me to this thing or to distance me from something else, hine ani she'ani misyasher ba'ofan shalem al kavanai ein chashash me'avor al zos haMitzvah. Since I think that I am doing the proper kavanah, it's no big deal if I violate a different mitzvah, because I don't really understand it anyway. And this is the reason why it says that the hidden things are for Hashem. And we're going to see an example that I think we're all familiar with in a second. Because it's just coming to show us that a person can't really come to understand all the Torah's intentions completely. Halo tiran. Ki gam mitzvah shebiara Torah telosam. Chet. I'm sorry. Chata Shlomo HaMelech Alav Shalom. I was going to ask you what that one was, but I wanted to save time. Okay, it took me a while to figure that one out. Okay, but in the context, it's easy. He says, the Torah explains, for example, the rules of a king. The rules of a king are, for example, don't have too many wives. Okay, that's the Shlomo HaMelech one. Don't have too many wives. Why? Because pen yasur levavo, the women will steer his heart away, in whatever way that is. In Shlomo Melech's case, it was towards Avodah Zarah. It was away from God, because most of the women that he married, they were from other nations. They weren't Jewish. Well, they converted. Okay, fine. But how sincere was the conversion? That's a decent question. What did Shlomo Melech say? Right? I will have a number of wives, and I will not let my heart turn. The Torah told him how to do it, and he said, no, it doesn't apply to me. Guess what? He says, I'm a smart guy. I'm not going to fall prey to this stuff. I'm a lot smarter than you think, and so therefore, and guess what? No, didn't matter. That when the Torah gives a purpose in a mitzvah, it could be that God has another thing in mind. Halo tireh ki haTorah zochra b'makom echad mitzvah Shabbos Torah sachas u'lezecher chidush ha'olam. Right, in one place the Torah says, why do you keep Shabbos? Ki sheish yisumim u'asa Hashem es ha'shamayim v'yisaretz v'yimash yishvash y'navash. You keep Shabbos because God created the world in 6 days, so we're imitating God. However, so elsewhere the Torah tells us, no, the reason why you keep Shabbos is because of the exodus from Egypt. You can't say that just because there's one purpose that God doesn't have another purpose for it. So the point is, just getting back to our original idea, that the concern with Tamei HaMitzvos is you think you know the reason, but you don't know the reason. No, there are some where God gives more than one reason. And God has, that's what Hanistaros Hashem Elokeinu means. And God knows, you don't know. In many cases, the Torah does not give us a reason. I mean, the Rambam gives a whole reason for Bris Mila. Why it's on the penis, for example. Forgive my French. But that's what it is. I did a Bris, and they had this little girl there, their daughter. And they're like, oh, what's he doing? And I said to them, you have to tell her. If she's asking, you have to tell her. You have to explain that you're a little brother. And he says, we can say that. I said, yeah, you have to use the word. Like, don't Don't hide. This is what it is. She's going to see it all the time. You have to explain to her. Hashem gave us a mitzvah, and it's over here. And this is an Avram. There's a piece of skin. You don't have it. You're a girl. Boy has it, therefore. But the point is that the Rambam, when he talks about Mila in Mar Nebuchim, he explains why, and why it's specifically on that organ, and why it's in that space, and why it's in that place, and why it was done that way. And he talks about all a bunch of different components. And it's very nice. Fact of the matter is that the people today who are anti-circumcision, they take that Rambam out of context because they don't read the Mar Nebuchim. They look at a translation and they don't understand it anyway. And they say, you see what the Rambam says, and therefore the Rambam was saying that it's meant to desensitize you and make you not enjoy the bedroom, etc., etc., etc. Bunch of idiots. They don't know what they're talking about. And the Rambam may have given a reason, but that's not the only reason. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nisteros L'Shem Elokeinu, he knows why. So you know, the Rambam, I'm not going to say he did a disservice, but insofar as people are taking him out of context, you know, it's a little bit of a disservice. Okay?
The Chilos is introduction. That's the thing that he stresses. The fact that I'm going to give you the reasons. He said, but these aren't the reasons. It could be a lot of other reasons.
Yeah.
I'm just doing it in order to clarify each one of the mitzvahs.
Right. And the Rambam, in his introduction, the Mor Nevuchim, he says, I'm giving this explanation, and maybe only 1 in 1,000 or 1 in 10,000 will understand, and everybody else is not going to understand. So I'm writing this for the genius out there. Everybody else, you should not be reading my book. And the problem is that the people who read the book today, okay, they don't understand it. Okay.
The Rambam also said, the fact that after you read my book, you won't have to read
No. He said that about the Mishnah Torah. He didn't say that about Mor Nevuchim. Mor Nevuchim, the introduction, it's fantastic, because he basically insults everybody. It's awesome. He says most people are foolish and they're not going to understand what I'm writing. It's great. Anyway. Okay, so this is what he says. Vavenze, Ashorish, Ki Migdola, Ashorishim HaTorayim, Lishmor Chachmas HaTorah, Shelo Yavo Shualim, Yifutzuhu. He says, this is like the essence of what the Torah is all about. That you understand, why do you do mitzvahs? Because God said so. God has his reasons. You think you understand the reason? Okay, but if your reason doesn't make any sense, then your reason's wrong. And that's not what it's about. And you have to find something else. That's what Tamei HaMitzvah is all about. That I need to find a reason for me that makes this mitzvah make sense. And if I don't understand it, I got to do it anyway. Because I just don't understand it. Continue. Veresh, I don't know who, Shin.
There's only two times that the Torah actually tells you the reason for it. You know what I mean?
No. No. That's not a reason. That's a reward.
It's a reward? It's not
In other words, with the Melech, it says, Levilti Sur Levavo. Right? Don't have too many wives because it'll turn you away from God. Don't have too much money; it'll take you away from your from understanding and appreciating the suffering of your brethren. Don't have too many horses because it may go down to Egypt. Right? Those are reasons which the Torah gives. So when Shlomo says, "Oh no, I'll have wives and I'm not going to turn away from God," I mean, he went against what God said. But there are other reasons. I mean, that one's clear anyway because he failed. So
he took what the Torah said out of context.
No, but he gave two other examples. Shabbos, where the Torah says, why does she keep Shabbos? Because you take God who created the world in 6 days. Why should you keep Shabbos? Because God took you out of Egypt and he gave you the Torah and he gave you Shabbos. Those are reasons. That's Tamei HaMitzvos. Okay, anyway, continue. Veresh Shintas, I don't know who that is. Hevi Dvar Ve'ela, V'chasam Aleihem, Shehem Noim Ruskablim. He brought these things and he said, it's very nice. Umi Tein, V'ayuad V'rme'ela, Charusim Alei Luach Kol HaChachamim Be'neihem. He says, everybody should understand this. This idea that if you don't understand the mitzvah, it's a flaw in you. Because God knows. I mean, it's not a flaw in you, but it's not a flaw in you. It's just that God didn't give you the reason. And you don't have to know the reason. Just do the mitzvah. Behine ha, this one I know, Rabbi Yitzchak of Abernel. Reish Bechaz could be Rabbi Yitzchak, I don't know. Torcho arbe, liyashev amikra azeh, lukashroi mashikadam. So he said they spent a lot of time trying to tie this pasuk to what came before him. Anybody who studies those things will say that it was a kvetch. It was a stretch. So this is just now it comes to my opinion. He says, now I'm going to give you my interpretation based on something that I'm reading in the Magid Misharim. Moshe says, La'ovracha bevris. La'ovracha. So what is La'ovracha? To pass you through a covenant. I don't think it's to announce. I don't think it's to announce. Okay. Amai etzterech mahadir le'ela yasa b'kaima akvar olu b'sinai b'kaima. He says, why does Moshe need to raise them up and bring them through a covenant? They already went through Sinai. V'sud lochazin anachad Yisrael asive miyadei. Okay. V'amar de b'sinai afagav dekdimu nasa l'nishma yonusim l'fishayu b'midbar. Shema v'lo yodim shum derech v'lo yalam shum mazon.
He
says Nasa v'nishma is like, you know, people who are living at that time said, yeah, we're going to do it, we're going to listen to everything that Moshe says and everything that the Torah says. He says that's like the Kavaleim HaKigigas. They had no choice.
They were forced.
They were forced basically into that because lo yalam shum mazon ki maman. The only food they had was man. They were dependent upon God. So if God says to you, take my Torah, what are you going to say? Is this contingent on the food that we're getting? Okay, we'll accept the Torah. So he says, that's not a good reason. Just because they had a covenant at Sinai doesn't mean that covenant, that everybody's bought into it. So he says, Mishum Hachi, and that's why, I turn the page 3, top of the page. Now it's at the end of the 40 years. And now they have a choice. Right now, there's no issue here. Okay, you've managed to live a long time. You're going into Israel soon. It's up to you. Moshe wants to pass him through the covenant. And so they didn't say anything here because being silent is like accepting. So they didn't have to say again. Nasa. V'nishma, you and Shambadvar, you can see what he says there. V'hine a'ara g'dola me'od. He says, this is so important. Ech yav yirei Moshe b'bris ha'Torah. How Moshe brings them through into the covenant of the Torah. V'hein lo yikaimu v'kabu d'bri ha'bris ha'zos b'fe malei. And they, lo yikaimu, how would it be that they're not fulfilling and accepting it? K'moshe asu b'bris ha'rishon. I think it's a rhetorical question. But
they don't say it here.
Right. So maybe it's not rhetorical. He's saying that they should accept the femalei as they did it at the bris rishon, at the first covenant. So he says velulei the mistafina, and we're not, you know, just a little unsure.
It's rhetorical.
You think it is rhetorical?
Yeah. Because
okay.
The heim eragadol eich yavir Moshe bris haTorah the heimli kamu v'kamu d'bri abris. How could it be that they will not fulfill the
meaning? Of course they will.
Of course they will.
Of course they will. Okay. Right. Pasuk etc. He says, and if it were not the case, the mistapina, that I'm a little just doubtful. I would say the following, which basically means I really believe that this is pshat. Okay, but something is just bugging me, and I can't put my finger on it. Okay. Who mamar hamakela? Kar. I don't know what kar means.
Makela is a choir.
Well, I mean, in modern Hebrew.
Yeah.
Hamikala, I don't know. V'hi tshuvas Yisrael Moshe. This is the response of Yisrael to Moshe. V'zeh kimu alehem v'alzaram achrayem debrei abris hazos bi'omram hanisteros Hashem Elokeinu. So maybe that's what he's saying. He says, hanisteros Hashem Elokeinu. And who's saying hanisteros Hashem Elokeinu? That's the response of the Bnei Yisrael. Come on, that has to blow your mind. This is all Moshe talking, right? Moshe's giving all this stuff.
Right.
Okay? And so who says, Hanistaros Lashem Elokeinu? It's the people saying, the hidden, Moshe, you're right. Hanistaros is Lashem Elokeinu. We get it. God has the hidden secrets. V'haniglos, and what's revealed, that's for us. Lanu levaneinu ad olam. That it's not Moshe telling them, hey guys, listen, this is the way it works with the nistaros and the niglos. It's that the people are saying that the hidden things are God, and the niglos, the revealed things, are for us. V'hi tshuvas Yisrael Moshe. And that's the response of the people to Moshe. V'zeh kimu aliham v'alzaram achrayem divrei abris azos bi'amram. Hanistaros l'ashem lokeinu v'haniglos. That's how they accepted the covenant, when they said, we got it. The hidden stuff is God, and the revealed stuff is us. And somebody who violates something in secret, God will take care of him. Because God knows what's going on inside the heart. Nobody knows else what's going on inside the person's heart. But if somebody is going to violate a Torah commandment in whatever fashion, in a public fashion, Yechov lanu levaneinu leva'er harami kibena, that we have to purge the evil, whatever that means. Okay, you know,
that's their acceptance in his words.
Correct.
V'im
lona sebahem din yenchu arab al pishay yachid, and if we don't take care of it, then the masses will be punished for the sin of the individual. Okay, a classic example of that is Achan, right, in the book of Yoshua. The first battle of Ai is a disaster. The Bnei Israel lose a bunch of people. And why? Because Achan, because one guy stole from the Cherem, the forbidden booty, spoils of war from the city of Jericho. They weren't allowed to take anything. And this one guy stole a couple of items. And the whole nation was punished because of it. They should have monitored better. Make sure that nobody, you know, everybody comes out, hey, can you empty your pockets, please? Make sure you don't have anything. Hey, what's under your shirt? They didn't do it. And so there was a punishment. And they're saying that that is what we're accepting. That Kol Yisrael, Arivim, Zebazah, we're all responsible. So if it's done in public, we gotta take care of the problem. Okay, Ubazah?
Yeah. That could be somewhat of an answer, because I mean, the questions all the time is, how is it possible that even the Tzaddikim die in the Holocaust? This could be a possible answer to that. The fact that there was a Tzaddikim, but there were some Rishonim, and it could be that those Rishonim were so bad that...
Right, so I don't like to play the game of causality when it comes to the Holocaust. Okay, I think it's a dangerous game to play. You know, because it boggles the mind. But there's a gezeirah min hashamayim. That's the only thing I can say about the Holocaust. It's a gezeirah min hashamayim. You know, it's like the scene in the Asar Rugei Malchus. Remember that scene where I don't remember which one it's in. Where I think it's in the Tisha B'Av one. Maybe I don't remember if it's the Tisha B'Av Yom Kippur. Where you know, they're told that you guys are going to pay for the sin of the brothers of Yosef, and so one of them they turn to the Kohen Gadol and he utters the Shema Meforash to go up to Shamayim to see if this decree was decreed from on high, and he said, and he goes up and he's told, you have to accept it, this is what it is. So now that's poetic. I have no idea what that means. You know, did that really happen? I don't know. But that's why I don't like to play that game. The only thing I could say is that the Holocaust is a gezeirah min hashamayim, for whatever reason, and you know, everybody who was included.
After reading this, I'm not coming up with reasons.
Okay, yeah, don't come up with reasons.
I'm not even trying. Okay.
Okay. Uvzeh ena mikra yotzei midei pshuto, and that's the whole goal, right? What's our goal? That we don't have to take the pasuk and try to run rings around what it means. Uh-huh. It is simple pshat. Moshe finishes up the words of the covenant in the pasuk or pesukim before, and then that is what their response is. And that's what some people do in the tzibur mikra. That I guess when he would come up to Hanis Taros, he would raise his voice. I always wonder where the Baal Kriya, who know all these little subtleties, where they get them from. It's like, is there a book? It says, you know, Baal Kriya secrets. You know, make sure that this one you lay in, like, you know, like Rosh Hashanah Nisuch, and this one you do, you know, Echatun, and this one you do a little louder, and this one, right? It's almost anyway. Megam Mashakor Magbiya Kol Mikra Hashkifa Mimon Kachacha B'Chisavo. Same thing that the person would, maybe they get it from the Ksava Kabbalah because he's spilling all the beans. Okay, that you raise your voice when you say the pasuk of Hashkifa Mimon Kachacha Nirushu Zecha LeKriyas Parsha Zobiz Mana Bayis. That what the person is essentially doing is calling out to God and mimicking what a person did once upon a time. Remember, Hashkiva Mimon Kachacha, the God, you should look down from your heavenly abode and bless the Bnei Israel, just as I have taken care of your poor, I want you to take care of me. That is the Baal Kriya mimicking what people would do back in the day. Shamri Birushalmi, Da'ar Hashkifa, you omrim b'kol namuch. Mikan v'elach, you omrim b'kol gavod. Birushalmi says that whoever would bring their basket, they bring their bikurim, they would say everything else in low voice. God, I did asisi kachalasher tibisani, I gave nasati lager layasom lamana, I gave to the convert, I gave it to the widow, I gave it to the orphan, and I gave it to Levi kachalasher tibisani, like all of you commanded me, I gave it to everybody. I did everything right. And now, God, now that I did everything right, I want you to look down from on high. And so that's what the Baal Kriya does as well, to imitate that. Madash, I'm a forshi, ma'amar nistaros, if you got smoke. Umamar vaniglos, if you got smoke. Hu muskam imhanagina, right? Hanistaros, lashem lokenu. Vahaniglos, lanul vanenu adolam. So those who are doing those, if you got smoke, in other words, that they're explaining what nistaros are, and they're explaining what niglos are, what the hidden things are, and what the revealed things are, they're following the ta'amim. Okay? Shat im. Lifnei Ma'amar v'haniglos esnach hanistaros Hashem Elokeinu esnach ta. Okay, major pause. That the hidden things are for God. V'hafsikol imashikodam lo. Okay, and to separate it from that which comes before it. In other words, before v'haniglos. Amnam acharei shorinu shabaltamim atzmo also nekudos al lonu levanenu. He says, but now if you look in the Chumash, you see that on the words lonu levanenu there are dots. Okay. To, I guess, pull attention away from the esnachta. I'm not sure. And basically, yeah, trying to limit the role that esnachta plays, and to basically throw together the nistaros and the niglos, the hidden things and the revealed things into one essential package of an idea. And so he says, therefore, next line, skipping the parentheses. So we also have to interpret it in that way. That the Torah of Moshe, which is written before us, is revealed and is hidden. The way which it is revealed is based on its simple pshat. What we see in the text, that is what it is. Right? Based on the way that those who translate and those who interpret on a simple level, that's what the niglosis, the revealed things are. Amnam nistaros hilavinosa chutz mikavanasa rishana pshuta, but the hidden things are to understand it on a deeper level, further than the first impression. Gamas kavanasa pnimis shi beemes kavanah amitis l'fi mechuvan min nosena torayis barach. So you have to get into the inner understanding, the deeper understanding, because that's what God had in mind. L'dasa chokma el yona, a higher level of wisdom. And to teach us precious ideas and deep thoughts on a much higher level. Okay?
He's talking about
almost. Could be. Okay, he doesn't mention Kabbalah, but he mentions Torah Shabbal Pet. Shehu aperush v'abir al-mitzvah satorah l'fi amitas omek inyanah, because that is the explanation and the understanding of the mitzvahs of the Torah according to the depth of their whatever subject. And the rabbis referred to the oral Torah. They called it the secret. And ne'elam means, you know, the hidden. I mean, I don't want to call it the lost. Okay, so that's one idea, that the Torah Shabbal Peh is the explanation for anything. That's what David said when he said, open up my eyes so that I can see the wonders in your Torah. So what David is referring to is the hidden things. After the Pasuk says that you are standing, Moshe says you're standing here today and I'm going to pass you through into the covenant, and Moshe went into great length to explain to them the punishment of somebody who violates the Torah. Okay? So I think we get the point that he's trying to share to us, that Anistaros Lashem Elokeinu is coming from the Bnei Israel, and that's the equivalent of Nasa V'Nishma, in which they were accepting. Not just, but like in more clear terms,
really,
and in more clear terms, the Torah Shabbal Peh, the hidden, the oral Torah, the oral law. So when we say Nasa V'Nishma, what does Nasa V'Nishma mean? We're going to do what's written, V'Nishma, to the oral law. Okay. Or we'll understand, or we'll listen to their explanations. We'll listen to their reasons. Okay? But again, you know, you guys are not going to survive here if you don't accept the Torah. But here they're at a very different stage. And so the idea that Hanistaros Hashem Elokeinu is their response to Moshe and their reacceptance of the Torah. La'avrachah b'vris Hashem Elokecha. Well, also, that Moshe's bringing them into this covenant, that is a fascinating idea, which you heard here, folks. You heard here. Okay.
Those hidden things, we don't know what they are, they must still have been affecting us in some way. I mean, it's all part of fabric. I mean, things happen. You don't know why or whatever. I mean, aren't they manifestations or hidden things? I mean, what are they?
So that I couldn't tell you. I don't know. The only hook that he's hanging this on is the Torah Shebaal Peh. The Torah Shebaal Peh is the oral law. Whatever the oral law means. He sounds Kabbalistic, but he's not really going Kabbalistic on us. He's saying, you know, look at the Talmud. That's where all of the explanations and understanding is. That doesn't limit it to only what's in the Talmud, right? As was mentioned, the word Kabbalah was thrown around. So what does that mean? There are different levels. Look, I think that all told, the main message that he's trying to share with us is that we should not discount things in the Torah that we don't understand. If there are mitzvos, they're mitzvos. They're timeless. They don't become defunct simply because we think we know the reason and our reasoning is irrelevant. Now, that's not to say that there aren't mitzvos which we can't do when we don't have a base of Mikdash. I think we all understand that, okay, that there are certain mitzvos which are dependent on a time and place and certain realities, but mitzvos which are not dependent on that time and place. And I think that the Sefer HaChinuch actually does us a decent service, because at the end of every mitzvah, he tells us that if it's incumbent upon Kohanim, on Levim, on all the Jewish people, only on men and women, during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, not during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when the people are Sharuya Alad Basam, the Jewish people living in the land of Israel, when they're not living in the land of Israel, all places, he gives that summary in terms of our obligation. So at least insofar as his telling us that, it's easy to know what our obligations are. But in terms of the reasons, in terms of what the impact it has in the world, that's nistaros, that's hidden. We don't know, and we're not going to know. But what we do know, whatever is nigla, whatever is revealed, that is for us to do our part. So some things we can understand a reason. Things where we can understand a reason.
What's classified as revealed? That's what is what.
No, I think that in a simple sense, what he's saying is that Nigla is Torah Shebichsav, and Nistar is Torah Shebaal Peh. So our job is to do what's Nigla, which is revealed. So you want to seek a reason? Well, if it's not Nigla, you don't have a reason.
Yeah, but what's revealed, it appears to be something that it's hard for us to comprehend also, because we don't have the reasons for it. And we're not allowed to put reasons for it. So how is that nigla?
Because the action is clear. The mitzvah itself is nigla, because it's in here, right? If you go to any book of mitzvos where it'll tell you what the mitzvos are, they'll always quote you sources. They'll tell you what the pasuk is, where the source of this mitzvah is. So leave aside reasons. I think the point that he was trying to emphasize earlier, especially when he gave the example of Shabbos, is that there are different reasons. You may have a good reason, and your reason may be dumb. But that doesn't take away from the fact that the mitzvah is important, because it's hanistaros l'Hashem. The reason is not for us to figure out. If we can come up with a reason that works for me, I remember once in Rabbi Tendler's class when he was telling us about the problem of tamei mitzvos, he said, look, you want to find a reason for a mitzvah that makes you happy, go for it. But don't ever think that your mitzvah is the right reason. Okay? Because you may have a good reason for, you know, maybe I have a good reason like for payas. Payas is brilliant. Why? Because somebody who cuts their hair over here, you know, looks like a fool. So I'm coming with a reason that's very practical. And this, at least you look like a mensch when you have hair coming down the side of your ear. Okay?
Professor Dolphin can. What if you do what you're saying?
I have no idea.
My reason is cruelty. That's why I send the mother with cruelty. But then if you say it, you get in trouble for saying it, but it's cruelty.
Okay, so exactly. So you got to be good. Right. So you, in your own mind, you know why you're doing it. But that doesn't mean that that's the correct reason. That's nista. Nigla is that if you need those eggs, send the mother away. That's the nigla. Okay, so that, you know, I think that's the main point. I think he's just giving us a hashkafa. He's giving us a perspective about what it means to understand what shmiras mitzvos is. That we have a relationship with God. God runs His world in a way which is mysterious to us. The fact of the matter is, we're not God. We don't know His ways, but we do have His word. His word that's nigla to us is this book. And what's nistar? Some of it is in Torah Shebaal Peh. And some of it is even beyond the comprehension of those who put together the Torah Shebaal Peh. As much as they knew, they didn't know everything. Okay?
Yep.
Okay. So we move on. All right. How much time do we have? 10 minutes. Yeah. I'm just trying to think which one we're going to do. All right, we'll just do the first one we have here, and everything else I'll leave for homework. Okay, if we can get through two of them, that'd be amazing. All right, let's try. Page 4. Okay? So in our Chumash, Tzad Chamishi, he says, V'natzam Hashem Elokecha es kol ha'olot ha'ila la'ivecha v'al'senecha asher tefucha. So God is going to place all these implications upon your enemies, and those who hate you pursue you. And what are you supposed to do? Ve'ata tashuv, and you shall return to teshuvah. V'shamata v'kol Hashem, you have to listen to God's voice, or whatever God's word is. And you have to do all the mitzvahs that I'm commanding you today. And if that happens, etc. And if you do that, Hashem is going to make you abundant in all your handiwork, the fruit of your womb, the fruit of your animals, the fruit of your land, for good. When Hashem will return to rejoice over you for good as He rejoiced over your forefathers. When is that going to happen? When you listen to Hashem's voice. So, V'atah tashuv v'shamata. So that's the beginning of Pasuk Ches. Let's take a look. Tashuv, tanuach, kemo, v'shuv v'nachta, v'zebi galoz gol tzedek, acharav dana elilim. Look at what he's saying. Unbelievable. Tashuv, you're going to return. You will rest. V'shuv v'nachas, with a complete return. What's be galoz gol tzedek?
With redemption of...
That's Mashiach tzedekenu. Achar of dana elilim, when all the gods are destroyed. They'll be destroyed, and you're going to stand with Shuvah v'Nachas. You'll never be exiled again. That, as the Navi said, Israel, if you return to me, which means properly and completely, then you will return. What's Nod?
Wanderer.
Right. Cain was told, Nav Nod Tiyeba Arts. You're going to be a wanderer. You're going to do all the mitzvahs that I'm commanding you. Shalo techudash das, that you should not come up with a new
law.
No, das means religion. Veda, shemikra zev yachacham rashdal, Shmuel David Lutzato, right? Is that what that is? The mofes barur b'chotech when Torah atzma. He says this is a clear proof from the Torah. Ki lo belvad shalo katzva Torah zman levasek chovos aguf, that not only did the Torah not give a time where these mitzvahs are going to be, you know, done. Okay, it's like, you know, some people say, oh no, yeah, no, mitzvahs, you know, they're what's the word? Not outdated. Anachronistic, old-fashioned, right? So it's not just that the Torah did not give a set time, that the time clock for mitzvahs runs out. Elagam she'amru b'feirush, she'amitzvahs hashmeos lo yivsku li'olam, that the mitzvahs you hear, they will never end. That even in the future, that they are just going to exist forever. Everybody agrees that the parsha that says that when all of these things come upon you, which is, I think, last week's... No, sorry, it's right here. Perek Lamed. Okay, if you look on the Chumash, right at the top of the page. And when is this referring to? Sometime in the future. He called Yanea Morim Kane. That it's referring to a time of exile, which is upon us, blessings and curses, amongst all the nations where God has sent us. And he promised that he's going to gather us in and be better to us than he was to our ancestors. And that has not yet happened. And even as good as it is today, it still has not yet happened. The aim is to sakesh la khisos. He says, good luck trying to prove otherwise. We never saw any with Abraham's man agula. Atida. Akhre kibutz agali osamar. Ya tata shuv shamata bekol Hashem. The sis says comes to say shekh kibutz bekol Hashem. He says that it's after the kibutz galios, after Mashiach has come, that you're going to return to the land and you're going to listen and keep all the mitzvos. Harish gam le asid nishmor v'na says comes to say that even in the future we're going to keep the mitzvos. Ve'ein lomar sheyihyu mitzvos chadashos, and do not say that there will be new mitzvos. Shari hosif asher anochim mitzvachah ayom, saying that it's limited to the mitzvos that I give you today. Hayno mitzvos atzman aksuvas b'Torah, mitzvos which are in the Torah. Yevoshu, look at, listen to this language. Yevoshu v'yikomu anashim hachachamim be'enehem. They should be embarrassed. And what is what you call them?
Million?
Destroyed.
Yeah, right? These wise guys who think that they're smart in their own eyes have poor kim alehem shmiras mitzvah who throw off the yoke of Torah and mitzvahs.
Wow.
That is harif. That is harsh. Okay?
Yeah.
He says, what kind of tshuva is the ideal kind? Tshuva? It comes from a deep love. Okay, we'll do one more. Okay, I saw that one. I said, that's a good one to finish with. But then I saw the next one. I said, okay, that one is also good. Okay, so the Fisha Torah. So, sorry, let's go back to the pasuk. When you listen to the mitzvos and the chukim that are written in this Torah, as you return to God, Hashem your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Haksuvah. So b'kol Hashem haksuvah. The word of God or the voice of God, which is written down. Lo biyarara klal kol mitzvah mitzvah. The only thing the Torah explained to us is just what each mitzvah is. Who built he efshari? The kaiy mitzvah and a mitzvah is biladei Torah shabal peh. Ham va'eres kol pratim adik dukim aruim l'chol mitzvah mitzvah. He says the Torah gives us very simple explanations of the mitzvah.
Mm-hmm.
Right, classic example. We do it every day. We put on tefillin. What does Torah say? Bind it between your eyes and on your hands. What does that mean? I don't know. That's why you have an oral law, Torah shabal peh. L'chein hisra kabbalas Torah shabal peh, and that's why he says you have to also accept the oral law. And that is hinted to in the words that you will listen to the kol, the voice of God, the Shmor Mitzvosav Chukosav Haksuvah. Because the only way you can actually observe and keep those mitzvos and chukim that are written is if you listen to the kol, the voice. And what's the voice? That which is not written down, that which is transmitted orally. You can't do the mitzvahs that are written unless you listen to the explanation which was given orally, which is called the kol. The oral law, which is forbidden to write down, had to have been heard from a kol, the voice of a Rebbe, who got it from his Rebbe, who got it from his Rebbe, who got it from his Rebbe. Obviously, nowadays, it was written down, and the reason why it was written down was because otherwise, it would be lost. So thank God it was written down. But even in its being written down, as I said before, the Chachamim knew a lot. But clearly, they're still Nistaros. They were not God, so they did not know everything. That without hearing their voice, these are the halachas. Okay, I'm not sure what Samach Tuf is. Perusha de Raisa de Chsav Iu Torah Shabbat Peh Hainu Kol Gadol. Okay, so that the idea of the kol is being the oral law. Uvchidas v'teda ki kamosh yer Hashem kol al kol gashmi anishma lo aznaim al idei anas klei adibur. Okay, essentially the idea is that there is depth, and we're out of time, so I'm going to leave the rest of this for homework. But the point is that the Torah Shabbat Peh is not something which is made up. It is not just hinted to in the Torah, it is basically spelled out very clearly. That along with the written Torah, there was an oral law. And the oral law is as binding on us, if not more, simply because without it, we would not understand the written law. And the written law is binding on us because it's supposed to last forever, as we saw in the previous Pasuk interpretation. And it's something which we, Baruch Hu Elokeinu Shebaranu L'Chvodo, we have the opportunity to continue to hold this banner high. It is Rosh Hashanah is around the corner, Mamish around the corner, this coming Sunday night and Monday and Tuesday. And the point that he's trying to make to us when it comes to tshuva here is that we have to reaffirm our commitment to Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebal Peh, and the mitzvos which are which are timeless. And he goes into this, I mean, just in great detail. I gave you the other pesukim here, and I hope you'll have the time to go through it, because this is who we are. Okay, if you just take a look, for example, I'll give you one little tidbit on page 5. Okay, in the second paragraph, what is he talks about? On the third line, he says you have to things which will bring you to tshuva. Fourth line, imsha tshuva himipnei yiras onshem levad. If the tshuva comes because of a person's fear of punishment, imitzad avas Hashem. If it comes because a person loves God, if a person does it because of fear of punishment, where the sin isn't completely erased, where, as the Gemara in Yuma says, that the intentional sins become like accidental sins. If it's only accidental, then it hasn't been completely erased. A person can still get close to God if that happens to be the case. But it further says in the Gemara that if a person is completely penitent, that's donos nases kizchuyos, that the things which were done on purpose can become merits if the person completely turns around and turns that. And he mentions this later on. If a person completely turns around and says, "How does it become merit? I used to be a sinner who did ABC." But now ABC is just not even in my lexicon. So it becomes a merit to me because when I come across the opportunity to do it, I don't do it. So it's a merit because I've overcome my yetzer hara because I used to do it all the time. And that's how it becomes like merit. So he talks about tshuva here as well. And it's just a call and a reminder to us how important tshuva is always, and specifically at this time of year when we read Parshas Nitzavim and we have all the reminders of tshuva in here. And it should be a merit and a zchus for us that we should be able to fulfill the Torah the way that it describes, not just prior to the Bias Goel Tzedek, the coming of the final Redeemer, as he said, but that we should look to see the Goel Tzedek so that we can fulfill the mitzvos after that momentous occasion as well.